also been working with property owners near OMSI to coordinate a long-term plan that includes, as I mentioned, the station for the future Portland-Milwaukee light rail, the east side streetcar, new stops for bus lines, and a proposed parking garage. And all of this will converge in the middle of a much enlivened OMSI district. Now, I believe there are many public benefits to the initiative we're presenting before you today. The vision includes a pedestrian plaza which will connect different tourist attractions, local business, and educational facilities. The plan benefits our transportation system, economic development efforts in the Inner East Side, and all Portlanders, and indeed all visitors who love trains. And the locomotives will help put the eye back into OMSI by providing opportunities to learn about the history and significance of rail in our region. Now, the relocation will also assist Union Pacific in making our current regional rail traffic more efficient. And although this relocation plan is admittedly complex and involves a lot of parties, we feel confident that the agreements before you provide a pathway to successful collaboration. The memorandum of understanding and the management agreement, which are before you today, outline the nuts and bolts of the partnership. And the loan agreement allows the foundation to move forward with a relocation in the heart of the OMSI district. And we have concluded that the foundation has demonstrated its ability to make good on the payments which would be due under the loan. It has taken over 50 years to acquire a permanent home for these city-owned treasures. So today is a major step forward. Todd Lofgren, who is, and I want to get his title right, the Property Acquisition and Services Manager for Portland Parks and Rec and has been our point person on this, is here to provide briefly some additional details and to answer any questions that my colleagues may have on the three ordinances which are before us. Following his presentation, we have two invited guests who will very briefly tell you about the work of the foundation, and then we'll ask for your support. Todd, thanks for all your good work.
Good morning. Todd Lofgren, Property and Acquisition Manager for Portland Parks and Recreation. I'm with Fred Cowell, our Finance Manager, and I'll just briefly reframe the three agreements that you have in front of you. First, the Memorandum of Understanding between TriMet, Portland Parks and Recreation, and the Oregon Rail Heritage Foundation provides the framework for roles and responsibilities of how we're going to acquire the property, how we're going to work together to get a management agreement and a loan agreement in place, and to find a permanent home for the steam locomotives. The second agreement is the loan agreement. It authorizes Commissioner Fish to execute all documents related to providing a loan of up to $1 million to acquire property in the OMSI district for the steam locomotives. Oregon Rail Heritage Foundation has signed a purchase and sale agreement with Union Pacific for Site 1 that was described by Commissioner Fish. We hope to close on that transaction later next month. The source of the funding for the loan agreement will be a system development charge fund that Portland Parks and Recreation manages, and that fund will be made whole in the loan agreement and the payments that are made by the Oregon Rail Heritage Foundation. So all of the investment income that would have been made and gained by the funding that if it would have been left in the System Development Charge Fund, that will be covered by the entrance payments made by the Oregon Rail Heritage Foundation. And the term of that agreement is for 2 years. The final agreement that we have in front of you today is a management agreement. It's a five-year agreement with a five-year renewal, and again defines the roles and responsibilities between Parks and the Oregon Rail Heritage Foundation and its members to restore and maintain and use the steam locomotives on behalf of Parks. So happy to answer any questions, and we also have Oregon Rail Heritage Foundation members here today that would like to provide testimony as well.
Thank you.
Questions from Council? I have one question. Yes. Actually, I have a couple questions. I heard on the radio this morning that the Council is planning to finance $3.5 to $5 million to actually build the facility.
That is incorrect.
That's what I thought. Just clarifying.
Yes. The only funding that we're providing is for the financing of the loan for the initial purchase. That's up to $1 million, and we expect that that will be paid in the next few years, because the reason being that we're confident in that fact is that site one, which is being purchased, is a site that is targeted for acquisition by TriMet as part of the Portland Milwaukee light rail project.
Can you clarify that? Sure. Are you actually saying here on the record that something reported in the media may not be accurate?
I am.
Wow.
And that was my point in asking the question, just to clarify.
We're not. Mr. Leonard, illusions die hard.
I resent the various signals being given to me by members of the media in the audience.
So my second question then is, we're essentially loaning $1 million for 2 years.
Correct. That's the loan agreement.
So which other systems development charges projects will we not be able to do for 2 years because we're lending for this purpose?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you want to answer that?
Well, yeah, that depends. Right now we have some reserve within the fund. It's not like all the unreserved fund is projected out. So it's hard to say what projects won't be done. It's at this point, there is an unreserved balance that we can use, so that's the reason why.
One of the reasons for that, that what we may lose in opportunity cost, that's one of the reasons for the short term of the loan, to keeping it only to 2 years.
So at some other time, I'd like some more information on how systems development charge funding is divided up, how you figure out, which projects get done first and that kind of thing.
Sure.
Thank you very much.
So, Madam President, if I may, I'd like to invite, thank you very much for your presentation. I'd like to invite Doyle McCormack, who's the president of the Oregon Rail Heritage Foundation, and Laurel Lyon, who's the founding president of the Oregon Rail Heritage Foundation, to come forward. They have a brief presentation. And before they start, I'd like to ask the other foundation members in attendance if they would just stand. Ed Immel, who's on the board, Phil Selinger, also board, John Frazee, who's on the board, Tony Marquis, and George Forbes. Could you please all stand so that we can just acknowledge you? Thank you for being here. And Doyle, would you please kick us off? It looks like you've been joined by Bill Failing. Well, Bill, welcome. And Doyle, if you could start.
Good morning to all. My name is Doyle McCormack. I'm the president of the Oregon Rail Heritage Foundation. The Oregon Rail Heritage Foundation is made up of several rail history-oriented organizations in the Portland area. We have been basically the custodians of these engines for the city for more than 25 years. We have managed to restore these locomotives and keep them operating without ever coming to the city for any resources of any kind. And we're happy to have done that. Right now, these locomotives are gems in the rough. The people of Portland do not know what they have before them, and we want to bring this to the people of Portland. Our exodus from Brooklyn Yard has been a long time coming. We've been at Brooklyn since 1981 at the gracious, Union Pacific and Southern Pacific Railroads. It's now time for us to move forward. Because we must leave Brooklyn Yard before January 31st, 2012. This is a daunting undertaking for us, for we are nothing but, mechanics who like to work on the locomotives. We're not into the politics, so to speak. So this is new territory for us. We feel that we have the resources with the joint efforts of all the groups to put this whole program together, make a very nice interpretive center where the people of Portland can enjoy these treasures and watch them operate. Locomotives that are sitting cold and dead in parks do not spark the imagination. Those that are alive and can operate do. And we hope to be able to do this for many more years to come. This is a huge undertaking for us, and it is a milestone for us. Purchasing the site to relocate these locomotives is a very important step in this endeavor. So we look for your help.
Laurel? Hello, I'm Laurel Lyon, the founding president of the Oregon Rail Heritage Foundation, and thank you so much for listening to us today. ORF has been fortunate over the past 5 years and has experienced tremendous growth and as an organization, fueled in part by our annual Holiday Express trains. You're welcome to join us for those. As ORF grows, we understand our responsibilities also grow to expand our perspectives and strengthen our relationship with the community. We have briefed neighborhood groups, the Hosford-Abernathy neighborhood, the Central East Side Industrial Council, and the OMSI district property owners, or have meetings with them soon. ORF is committed to accessibility for everyone. We are working with knowledgeable city staff to help get a transition plan in place. We are also working closely with TriMet, ODOT, and PBOT to assemble the Site 1 development. The MOU is included in the ordinance before you. Also included in the ordinance is the management agreement mentioned before that formalizes ORF's relationship with the city. Both the Landmarks and Design Commissions have been briefed on our project and are supportive of it. Finally, we are recruiting high-profile community leaders to join us in our capital campaign to build the restoration facility and to help increase our fundraising success.
Thank you very much, Bill.
Bill Failing, Portland resident. Last evening, I was having a sort of abstract conversation with one of your predecessors, Mike Lindbergh, and we were discussing what might have been Portland's golden age. And, Bill Nadeau's name came up, for instance, as part of what we considered that period. But sitting here today in front of this council, I believe that we're still in the midst of that golden age. I think that what we've done with rail transit, for instance, we've become really the transit hub, rail transit hub of the whole country. We're known for that. It's become part of our brand. And what else has also become part of our brand is how Portland weaves its history, its past, into the present, and it works together. And I think this is a perfect example of what that does. If you think about the Ladd Carriage House, or you think about Vintage Trolley, and this council really weighed in on that, thank you, to help preserve that icon, I think that you see how it all works together. So this richness of history, of how we bring the past in and help it define both the present and the future, is really what Portland's all about. It's part of the richness of what this city offers. I think the confluence of streetcars, light rail, freight, all the rail entities that are going to be setting up in the backyard of OMSI is a tremendous opportunity. And I would hope that today you'll sort of keep this historical perspective in mind. And I thank you very much for your consideration and hope you push this through. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. I also want to acknowledge Maynard Orme, who I don't know that he's here, but has also been instrumental in the life of the foundation. Thank you all for your service.
Thank you all very much. Really appreciate it. Has anyone signed up to testify?
That was all who signed up.
Anyone wish to testify on these three ordinances? All right. Carla, would you please call the vote?
Fritz?
Well, thank you, Commissioner Fish, for your leadership on this. It's obviously very complicated, and particularly for, as was mentioned, working on the accessibility issues after Human Rights Commissioner Owen Bird brought that to the attention regarding the Holiday Express. The financial impact statement says that there really will be no expenses to the city because the loan will be paid back with interest, and I'm satisfied with the answers that I got over the assistance development charge. So thank you for your staff for giving us a lot of information ahead of time. Emily Hicks was very helpful, and Carrie Turcon and my staff was also looking into this with great enthusiasm, and I appreciate the project.
Fish.
I want to begin by thanking the Oregon Rail Heritage Foundation for their service. We are, as I mentioned, the only city in the country that can claim to have three steam locomotives of this vintage that belong to us. But like so many parts of our great parks system, we can't do the job without citizens like you that step up and volunteer and provide your expertise and your time and your treasure. So thank you very much. And in addition to your service, and because you do what you do so well, we've been able to bring together a great group, including TriMet and the Portland Bureau of Transportation and the Foundation with Parks, to come up with what I think is a unique funding arrangement, which allows us to meet the goal of relocating the steam locomotives and finding a permanent home. But beyond that, I have to tell you, I'm very excited, and my five-year-old's even more excited, that we're talking about developing a permanent home where these historical locomotives can be enjoyed by the public and are accessible to all. Finding a property near OMSI which works is really an outstanding opportunity. And to be at the confluence of light rail and streetcar and freight rail is, I think, magical. So I want to thank the entire group that came together to make this happen, but particularly I want to acknowledge Todd and our team at Parks who've worked tirelessly to pull this together. This has been very, very complicated, but I believe this is in the public interest that we move forward on this. I want to thank Commissioner Fritz for her kind remarks and particularly calling out Emily Hicks. I don't think I've ever actually acknowledged Emily, but I met Emily when she first came to council to denounce me. Then later I hired her, figuring I'd rather have her on my team but she is a fantastic coordinator of parks issues in my office and one of the really great people who work in this building. So thanks to all, and I'm very pleased to vote aye.
Saltzman.
Well, this is a great opportunity. I've toured the locomotives before and seeing that they really are a labor of love to many people. I think as Doyle just said, there's something about trains that work that's more magical than trains that just sit and rust perhaps in a public space. So this provides us an opportunity to showcase these locomotives, to have the opportunity for people to experience them, and for all those rail buffs out there who love to tinker on these things. They are truly wondrous engines, and it really does harken back to what the industrial age really was all about in this country. So it's really a wonderful thing, and OMSI in that regard is a fitting location. So thanks, Commissioner Fish, for working with TriMet and Parks and the Rail Heritage Foundation to make this a reality. It's going to be a great great addition to our city. Aye.
Adams.
Well, sometimes really good things are easy, but it's pretty rare. And this is, having been briefed on this and talked to a few people and read through everything that has been put forward by Commissioner Fish, I know that this is one of those really good things that was incredibly, incredibly hard, complicated. Anytime you're mixing a federal railroad with a local transportation bureau, with a regional transit agency and the Parks Bureau, and then good citizens, passionate advocates of rail heritage. It's a good thing, but it's a very difficult thing. So I want to commend you, Commissioner Fish, and your team for bringing it all together and making it happen. I hadn't really thought about until the great testimony today that this will be within just a few hundred feet, Intercontinental Railroad, streetcar, light rail, and steam-powered locomotives. That's going to be pretty unique. And a great attraction, as Commissioner Fish said, in putting the eye of industry back in OMSI, or I should say more of the eye in OMSI. So this is really fantastic, and I'm just very pleased to support it. As the grandson of a locomotive engineer for the Milwaukee Railroad, I know he would be very happy. Aye. Please call the vote for 1489.
Fritz?
Well, this is the loan to secure the property, and I wanted to mention that I was initially skeptical because it's very close to the river, and I'm looking at all river-related property to see what kinds of river-dependent uses we could put them to. And then I realized that this is a rail-dependent property, and just like the river is not going to move, the rail is not going to move very far either. So it does make a very good location for this particular property, and I, again, appreciate the creativeness of putting together the package to make sure that it gets done. And I also want to thank the Oregon Rail Heritage Foundation volunteers. This would not be happening without you, and you're going to be raising a lot of money, and you've done a lot of work, and it's preserving something which literally cannot be replicated. They're not making any more of these anymore, so I'm glad that we're keeping the two that we have that are working and keeping them in use. Thank you. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. Call the vote for 1490.
Fritz.
This is the loan, the management agreement. Actually, I got this backwards, but I also wanted to mention thanking the taxpayers of Portland for funding the SDCs, which are going to provide the loan. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Adams.
Congratulations, Commissioner Fish. Great work. Aye. 1490 is approved. Congratulations, everybody. Give them a round. All right, that gets us to the regular agenda. Can you please read the title for resolution item number 1505?
Establish the Mayor's Portland Plan Advisory Group to assist the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability in the development of the Portland Plan.
So this establishes the Portland Plan Advisory Group to support the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability in the development of the Portland Plan. It is distinct from the Community Involvement Committee that was also formed to give us advice on the public outreach and involvement related to the plan. So one is about the Community Involvement Committee is about helping us come up with the outreach strategy, the community engagement strategy. This is the advisory group regarding the substance of the plan and giving advice to the Planning Commission and to the City Council. Portland Plan is required by state law, but we're pushing well beyond the strict confinements of state law to come up with a strategic plan for the Portland's next 25 years, Portland that is thriving and sustainable city, that is prosperous, healthy, and educated. Our partners, unlike the previous efforts in 1980, which basically included us, as in the City of Portland, our partners now include on this Metro, Multnomah County, PDC, Portland State, Portland Public Schools, David Douglas Schools, Park Row Schools, the other Centennial, Reynolds school districts, Portland Community College, OHSU, and TriMet. So the next steps are the workshops for the Portland Plan, the initial workshops in November and December. Council has been asked to attend, as have our bureau managers. They will be on November 17th, 19th, December 1st, 5th, 7th, and 15th. So with that, are there any questions from the City Council? Anyone wish to testify on item 1505?
No one signed up.
Carla, would you please call the roll?
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
I'm very glad to see this advisory group coming into being. I'll look forward to seeing who's going to be appointed. And I'm also very glad to see the Portland Plan Outreach meeting starting. Encourage everybody to go to the Planning Bureau website. Book yourself for coming to at least one or two of them. Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. 1505 is approved. Can you please read the title to ordinance, regular agenda, item number 1506?
Vacate a portion of Southwest Stark Street at Southwest 13th Avenue, subject to certain conditions and reservations.
Good morning. Welcome to City Council.
Good morning, Mayor, members of City Council. My name is Lance Lindahl with the Portland Bureau of Transportation Right-of-Way Acquisition Section, and I'm here today to answer any questions you may have about the street vacation for a portion of Southwest Stark at 13th. And the purpose of this street vacation is to facilitate development of the Weave Building, which is a project being planned by Skylab Architecture. And there are members from Skylab here today to answer any questions if you have specific questions about that project.
So we're not voting on this today, but it is 162 square feet at the edge that will allow their building to be more financially viable. Is that a fair summary?
That is a very good summary, yes. And my staffs work closely with Transportation Development Review and Project Management to ensure that this vacation is compatible both with the way Burnside's configured currently and also with the Burnside-Cooch couplet plan.
And it's my understanding that the building is not going to be actually built at ground level, but it's more for the overhang. Is that correct?
That is correct. The first two stories will be tapered back. Well, actually, the building itself projects over that portion of sidewalk, but the sidewalk will remain open for public purposes.
Thank you.
All right, unless there are additional council discussion and unless anyone is signed but to testify on 1506... or wishes to testify in 1506. It moves to a second reading. Can you please read the titles for items 1507 through 1511, resolution and emergency ordinances?
1507, adopt the final capital budget and finance plan for the Portland Streetcar Loop Project. 1508, amend contract with Stacy and Whitbeck, Inc. for general contracting services for the construction of rail, roadway, traffic signal, overhead electrical, landscape, and structural improvements for the Portland Streetcar Loop Project. 1509, amend contract with Portland Streetcar, Inc. to provide additional professional services for project management and other services during the construction phase of the Portland Streetcar Loop Project. 1510, amend contract with Portland Streetcar, Inc. to provide additional professional services for design and civil engineering during the construction phase of the Portland Streetcar Loop Project. And 1511, amend contract with Portland Streetcar, Inc. to provide additional professional services for project management and vehicle engineering services for production of a domestically manufactured streetcar.
So a couple of the introductory comments. So Portland was the first city to receive a federal grant to build a light rail leg. We were the first city to receive a federal grant to develop a transit mall. And today officially marks another first. We're the first city to receive federal funding to develop a modern streetcar line. In our case, an extension of a modern streetcar line. Last week, the federal administrator signed the first Small Starts grant for a streetcar project. In doing so, Portland, which has been recognized by the federal government for its innovations in transit and rail transit specifically, has put money to those good words, and we are very grateful. The Portland Streetcar Loop is truly a story of partnerships between public agencies and private owners. Business owners, developers, neighborhood activists, and I'd like to take a few minutes to thank a few by name. First, TriMet has been willing and will continue to provide invaluable assistance to the city in our dealings with the Federal Transit Administration, which has become much better to deal with on this issue with the new administration, I might add. And I want to appreciate and underscore my thanks for the work of Fred Hansen, Neil McFarlane, Sandy Brady, Dave Unsworth, and many other on the staff who helped us secure the Small Starts grant. Richard Brandman, who now is moved on to a different nearly impossible project with the Columbia River Crossing representing the state of Oregon on that project. But before that, the impossible project, or at the time seemed impossible, he was at Metro and played a lead role in completing the alternatives analysis and the environmental assessment for the Loop project. And he spent a great deal of time in Washington, D.C. advancing the project and explaining why the streetcar was so important. And I want to thank Richard for your great work at that time. Michael Powell and the entire board of Portland Streetcar Incorporated, who have been not only folks that have put up millions of dollars for this project, but have been invaluable advisors and allies as we have undertaken this unique public-private project. And on the private side, he was an early supporter and a stalwart supporter. There is no better person than Hank Ashforth, who's chair of the Project Advisory Committee since 2002. My time has flown. To talk about what it means, and he's always been promoting what the streetcar means to the bigger picture of making the Central East Side reach its true potential as a place for business and a place for housing, a mixed-use development. And actually, I'd like to start with Mr. Ashforth, if you'd please come forward, Hank. And and Richard and Vicky. Where's Vicky? Why don't you come on up? I hear your voice. Oh, you're behind the pillar. So, Hank, as someone who is under this agreement writing a check to the project for a lot of money, you could have easily said, no, this doesn't make sense. It was far from certain back when the initial planning of this loop was initiated, and you've been a standout leader on this project, and I just want to make sure that council knows that and publicly thank you for that.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. And this is a particularly great day for Portland, for sure, and a number of firsts, but I need to echo some thank yous as well. You touched on all of those, but there were 22 members of our project advisory committee, and some of them are here as well. I see Chris and Dick Cooley is here, and Rick Parker is here as well. We did meet pretty much once a month for 7 years, and what it did was really take two neighborhoods, have two neighborhoods come together to say this is important, and we're going to see our way through this. We're going to be the first through the federal process, and the federal gate is a tough one for sure, but we persevered. And these two communities said, yes, this is important. And to stress this public-private partnership piece even more is these neighborhoods are coming up with 10% of the cost in the neighborhood of $15 million to say this is important to us. So I want to thank them most definitely. The Oregon delegation as well, Earl and Peter DeFazio, for sure. This was, as I said, the first FDA Small Starts project, and we have the scars to prove it, for sure. So I applaud the public-private partnership. It works, for sure. It's a testament to Portland's creativity on a project like this, this project itself is the right stimulus right now. It's going to create, continue the development, the money spent, $3.5 billion to date along the current streetcar line. It's going to continue to leverage the $20 million in tax revenues that the streetcar has brought to the city, and in addition, it has created United Streetcar. And there are 80, as we mentioned, there are 80 other towns and cities across the country that are looking to Portland as a leader, saying if it works in Portland, I know it can work in my community. And now we've created a business that will create long-term jobs as Portland and the other 79 cities out there ask for streetcars. A couple other comments I have. So I guess the important thing is that I think the city starts to leverage the investments that we've made in our transportation infrastructure. It has a terrific growth trajectory, this city, and the transit piece is a big part of it. So I did a little homework, and I came up with a quote. I found a quote that I'm going to read for you right now, bear with me. It takes a minute or so, but I think it's very important as we've gone through, as today's council has gone through economic development, it's gone through some preservation of steam engines and what have you. And I think it's somewhat pertinent. The quote goes like this. Portland is just in its knee pants, and and I doubt whether a lot of the people of Portland are as thoroughly sold upon the future of your city as I am. Go with your commissioner of public utilities to the headworks of your Bull Run water system. Stand with him at the compact and beautifully constructed intake, now some 5 years old. Look below, you'll see the old head gates that were created for a city of tens of thousands. Then notice the present intake with a capacity for a city of hundreds of thousands. Then cast your eyes to the cliffs of the canyon, and you will see great steam shovels at work, cutting a road, preparing for the building of a new water system capable of satisfying the needs of a city of a million souls. This is a picture of Portland's yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Now go with your mayor, city commissioners, and city engineer and have them point out the demands for schools, streets, bridges, sewers, fire protection, police protection, and whatnot. Then you will visualize this great and growing city that is forcing your water department to prophesy its future by anticipating its needs. This is a quote I found from the Oregonian, dated September 28, 1926, by Ralph B. Lloyd, when he was assembling making his various assemblages over in the Lloyd District. Wonderful. Certainly a visionary statement indeed. And I think it's incumbent on us to leverage what Ralph Lloyd saw and the East Side Streetcar Loop, like the Bull Run Project, is anticipating the needs of Portland. And I think it's up to all of us, both public and private, to keep this great city growing. So
you must have known I was wavering on my vote, and then you pulled out that Bull Run thing. That was,
I figured you liked that, Randy. I figured you would. So I thought it very pertinent that I found. I have the entire edition from the 28th of September, 1926, in my office.
I'd love
absolutely
to see
fabulous.
It.
It's absolutely fabulous. A tenant of ours actually stumbled across it while renovating his home. And the Oregonian was used as insulation, no doubt, in those days.
So, I would have that framed if you had
it. It is framed in our office. And
it would be a wonderful gift to the city.
Absolutely. Well, prior or after your vote?
The agreement would be prior. You could deliver it after. Because I trust exactly. you.
And I trust you.
Thank you, Hank.
You bet. Thank you for all your hard work and your leadership, particularly on this, Sam.
Well, thank you for your leadership on the project advisory side. It's been invaluable. Richard, do you want to offer any observations of your time beating your head against the FTA rock?
Oh, sure. I wasn't actually planning on coming up, but I appreciate being here. And first, I think just congratulations to everyone. It was really a team effort and so much leadership, both at the city, private sector, as well, I think, at Metro and TriMet, who were incredibly supportive of this. This was not easy, as you all know. It was hard getting our federal partners to the point where they were starting to begin to understand the relationships of this transit project that's much more than a transit project. It's a community building project. And I think I would echo the mayor's words that with the current administration in place, they do get that. They get that much more than the old administration did. I've had more recent conversations with them just in the last several weeks about these same issues as they change their ratings process for the years to come. And I think we can look forward to many more streetcars and light rail lines in Portland's future and the rest of the countries.
Thank you, Richard, for your great work. I don't think most people in Portland know who you are necessarily.
That's good.
or the quiet but really important work that you did to help make this happen. Now, Vicki, we've had this particular project before the City Council in various forms or fashions four times. Ish.
At least
four times.
And more to come, of course.
Yeah. So these five items are about accepting federal money, moving forward on the previous council items. But could you please highlight elements of the five that you think are important to air out?
I will do that. For the record, I'm Vicki Deedy with the Bureau of Transportation. I'm the city's project manager for Portland Streetcar. I'd just like to maybe remind you, I've been doing this since March 7th of 1990.
Wow.
So,
You are a pioneer.
Uh-huh, absolutely. I'm one of those fortunate project managers who's been able to be involved with the project since it was lines on the back of a piece of paper until it's actually running, which is pretty rare, and I'm very grateful. quickly, the things before you are the resolution to adopt the final capital budget and finance plan. The only piece that I would like to bring out is the fact that this budget is totally consistent with the budget that you approved last June. The only addition to it is there are some betterments that were requested by other agencies, including PGE, that have been added to the budget, not only the work, but they've also added the money. The amendment, the next one is the ordinance authorizing amendment number 3 to the Stacey and Whitbeck Inc. construction contract, and this is the large contract. It's for the major elements of the project. And I would like to recognize two of the key people from Stacey and Whitbecker in the audience today. That's Steve Wood, who is their overall project manager, and Julie Grubb, who is their project engineer, and they're sitting in the back of the room. It's a big contract. It's adding a little over $81 million to the project, which why is it was so important that we receive these $75 million from the federal government. We could not have moved ahead without it. Construction will last about 27 months. There's two other things quickly on this one. One is that Stacey and Whitbeck has committed to approximately 15% participation by disadvantaged business enterprises. And as this is a federal project, it is the DBE program at TriMet that rules as opposed to the city's own MWESB program. However, in looking at the subcontractors that Stacey Whitbeck has committed to hiring for this, 90% of them are also classified as minority women or emerging small businesses. So there'll be kind of a double, triple hit in some cases. The last thing on this, and this is a little complicated, but it has to do with the authorization of change orders in the future. The original contract with Stacey and Whitbeck was for a little over $6 million, and that was for the advanced utility work for the water main work. If you accept that as the original contract value, it says that that the director of the Bureau of Transportation has authority to sign contract change orders below 25% of that value, and anything over that would go to the city council, which is a small amount, a little over $1 million and such that we would be considering. However, our contingency on this contract is about $6.8 million, which means we would be coming to you a lot. And it might be for a change order in the amount of $250. It might be in the amount of $15,000. So what we would like council to do is to consider the original contract value of this project as the sum of that first contract and the amendments that have been brought forward to you. Had this been a typical low bid project, it would not have been bid till now, and it would have been a contract in the neighborhood of $90-some million. We would not want to keep the authority for 25% of that because it would be something like $25 million, and one, we want to be rest assured that we don't anticipate change orders in that amount, nor do we have the budget for it. So what we're asking council to do is to allow the director of the Bureau of Transportation to authorize change orders in the amount up to the contingency that we're holding in our contract, which is about the $6.8 million. Anything over and above that, which I don't think you'll see, we would bring to council. I know that gets a little convoluted, but I'll be happy to answer any questions about that. The next two ordinances are to authorize amendments with Portland Streetcar Inc., and these are for professional services during the construction phase of the project, one for project management and the other one for civil and design services. On the project management side, it'll include such things as civil construction coordination, utility coordination, contract administration, construction mitigation services, and then planning for the operations of the loop project once it goes into revenue service in April of 2012. The services that will come to us for the design and civil engineering side will be their review and response to contractor submittals and requests for information, field engineering support, coordination of safety certifications, final punch lists, and the completion of the built drawings. So these are all the contracts that we've anticipated will be necessary to actually implement the project, build it, and put it into revenue service. The last one is an amendment to an ordinance to authorize amendment to the Portland Streetcar Inc. contract related to the prototype project. The city was awarded through TriMet again about $4.5 million from federal grant funds for an American-built streetcar prototype. About $4.2 million of that has been authorized, the bulk of it to Oregon Ironworks to actually produce a prototype. But we'd like to use $150,000 of the unallocated funds from the grant to continue some project management and vehicle design services. The background on this is that Oregon Ironworks may request for the city that the Škoda propulsion system in the prototype vehicle be replaced with a propulsion system from Rockwell Automation as a domestic manufacturing opportunity. That decision has not been made, but should the decision be made, services will be needed primarily from LTK Engineering to do one of two things. One would be to coordinate that conversion of the propulsion system, or secondly, to complete the performance testing for the Škoda propulsion system, which is currently in the car. So the amendment that's before you would allow us to pursue either piece of work, not both, but depending on what the city decision is.
And if I could just interject, we have not, this does not sign off on the American-made propulsion system by Rockwell.
No.
But the reason that we are pursuing its possibility is that we would then have manufacturing for the propulsion system happen in the Midwest as opposed to mid-Europe. And we would have a national set of suppliers in addition to our local suppliers and all the advocacy that comes with that for helping get our streetcar industry further down the track. So that's why we have this on the docket as a consideration and why we're flagging it to the City Council and to the public. It does not make a decision today, but we simply flag this as an opportunity.
And I would be happy to answer any questions that the council may have.
Commissioner Fritz.
I think you may have answered this, but I'm not sure that I understood the.
Yeah.
I'm looking at 1509, the amending the contract with Portland Streetcar Inc. So we're increasing the amount by about $2.5 million.
Yes.
And I'm wondering, is that included in the capital budget that we're approving in 1507?
All of the amendments to the contracts, all of the resources are accounted for in the final capital plan and capital budget and finance plan.
Thank you.
Everything is there.
Thank you.
Additional council discussion with this group? Again, thank you very much for your testimony. Yes, sir.
I'd like just to thank one other person, and he's standing over there and always in the background. But through this seven-year process, he was kept this thing on track, so to speak, every point of the way, and that's Rick Gustafson. He will claim no credit, but it really deserves all of it. Thanks, Rick.
Thanks, Rick. Thank you all very much. Is anyone signed up to testify on council items 1507 to 1511?
No one signed up.
All right, anyone wish to testify? All right. Carla, would you please begin calling the roll on 1507?
Leonard.
I am pleased to support, once again, this visionary and laudable goal to move Portland forward even one more step than what we already have. Aye.
Fritz.
I appreciate the attention to detail and all of the pieces being put together and thinking about domestic manufacture of all the components as well as the streetcar itself. Thank Vicky Deedy for your longstanding diligent service. It's certainly someone that I trust to give me good information on this project and have steered it through. I want to note that we are dedicating about $6 million in citywide transportation system development charges, but that the bulk of the money is coming from the federal government and from local improvement districts and the tax increment districts. So I thank Mayor Adams for his leadership in getting that federal money, and also thank the taxpayers for helping to support this. To me, this is a project which is a fascinating one in terms of the use of the streetcar as a development tool. That the Central East Side is a place that we value as the Central East Side Industrial Sanctuary, and that we don't want to greatly change the zoning or change the uses in the industrial sanctuary. However, we're using this as a tool along Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard and other connections So it's very much more of a transportation connection as well as a development tool in this particular instance. And I recognize that the decisions have been made to do that and want to support the implementation. Aye.
Fish.
Great job, all. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I do want to thank Hank Ashforth and Rick Gustafson, Richard Brandman, Vicky Deedy, and all the people of Portland Streetcar, and our federal delegation, particularly Congressman Blumenauer and Congressman DeFazio, and Mayor Adams for their leadership in really making this all happen. So it couldn't have happened without a lot of beating our heads against the wall, but it sounds like it's a go, finally. So I'm pleased to support it. Aye.
Adams.
Well, I want to add a few more thanks. I'll be quick. The delegation, especially Representatives Blumenauer, DeFazio, and Schrader, when he was co-chair of Ways and Means in the state legislature, as to Merkley, who as a member of the state legislature made sure we had state funding as part of the package, and Senator Wyden for his relentless support of this project. I also want to thank Shoshana Oppenheim, Tom Miller, Roland Chapowski, and now the great Catherine Jarlow for their work on this project over the years. And I, too, would like to thank Chris Smith, Rick Parker, Dick Cooley, Greg Jones, Sue Keel, Dan Bates, Rick Gustafson, and Vicky Deedy. Great work. Aye. Now we'll just blaze through the votes here.
Mm-hmm. Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz?
I do have one small comment on this, but we can't blaze quite so fast. Because this one is on the contract for the construction, and I want to call out that because there's a federal mandate, we're getting a percentage of disadvantaged businesses that is higher than some of the contracts we see with local, and we also see that with state, that we get a higher percentage. So I know Mayor Adams is working on figuring out ways to do more, do better in the local contracts, and I appreciate this one. Aye.
So, Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Adams.
And I've actually delegated that task to Commissioner Fish. But thank you. Aye.
1509, Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Well, thank you, Commissioner Fish, for working on that. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. 1510.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. 1511.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. Congratulations. Can you please read the title for second reading, Street Vacation 1512?
Did you want to take the consent, the items pulled?
Oh, I'm
consent?
Sorry. We have a Scribner's error to correct on council calendar item.
1492.
Can you please read the title on 1492, pulled from consent?
Authorize an intergovernmental agreement with the City of Salem for fleet retrofits paid for by a grant of $255,000 from the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency Region 10 from the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act funding for the National Clean Diesel Funding Assistance Program.
Staff, who's going to, oh, there you are. Hi, how are you? Welcome. What are we looking at today for a change?
My name's Kyle Diesner. I'm with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. Item 1492 should be amended to delete Section C on page 2 of the ordinance. The funding was already appropriated by City Council through the approval of Ordinance 183075 on August 12th, 2009.
So move.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to amend the ordinance as stated by Cal. Can you, any discussion? Anyone wish to testify? Carla, can you please call the roll on the amendment?
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. All right. Would you please, does anyone wish to testify on the underlying amended ordinance? Carla, can you please call the vote?
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. Can you please read the title, second reading for street vacation item number 1512?
There, we have those other three items pulled from consent.
Why do you hate the Fire Bureau?
1499, 1500, 1501.
I apologize. Please read the, are these related?
Yes,
they are.
Can you please read the title for both items?
Three
items?
Three.
1499, authorized grant application to the Oregon Military Department, Oregon Emergency Management for an amount up to $1,500,000 for the seismic rehabilitation of Fire Station 21. 1500, authorized grant application to the Oregon Military Department, Oregon Emergency Management for an amount of up to $1,500,000 for the seismic rehabilitation of Fire Station 18. And 1501, authorized grant application to the Environmental Protection Agency for an amount of up to $1 million for the replacement of five 1972 pre-emission standards marine engines with Tier 3 non-road diesel engines on the fireboat David Campbell.
Commissioner Fritz?
I appreciate the opportunity to ask you a couple of questions, and it's helping my general understanding of how we work with grants and the budget and things. So, and I apologize for getting these questions late. Because one of the things that I've noticed over the 10 months that I've been on the council is that we, when we apply for grants, there's often a matching component. And so I feel it's my responsibility to help figure out where is the money coming from. And so I just wanted to ask you the questions in these three grants. In the first one, it says that the match will be funded through available 2010-11 resources. And then the second one, it says that the grant, the loan match of up to $500,000 will be provided from funds under this year's budget. And then the third one, it's $25,000 under next year's budget. And so I'm wondering, what do you have a line item in the Fire Bureau budget for this kind of purpose? And if so, how much is there in it this year and how much would be projected for next year? Are you asking for additional funds for this?
Oh, first of all, in the two grants,
by yourself.
I'm sorry. My name is Glenn Eisner. I'm Deputy Chief with Logistics, Port of Fire and Rescue. With respect to the Station 21 and Station 18 grants, those are new grants. There is no matching requirement at this time. They will give us additional points if we do have matching funds. With respect to the Station 18 grant, that's actually a typo. It should be 2010-2011 funds for that year's budget.
That's helpful. Thank you. But if we are going to need to provide these matches of $500,000 or so, where would that money come from? Would you be asking for it as a request in the next budget? And if I vote for this now, am I saying that, yes, I'm going to give it to you in the next budget? Or do you already have a line item for matches because you know that these kinds of things come along?
A general principle is an existing council cannot bind a future council to anything. So by definition, we cannot be bound by something we do today in the future.
Right. But if we're approving the grant, aren't we telling whoever
that might put you in an uncomfortable position to vote no, but I'm sure we can talk about that then, but you're not bound. We may have money that is authorized to us to give us to do work we'd otherwise have to do if we come up with some matching funds, but you can certainly say no at that time.
My question, though, is there a line item in the Fire Bureau's budget so that if you were to apply for a grant that you were going to get this year, is there somewhere that you would be able to find it? You'd have to come
Our budgets expired June 30th, 2010.
Right.
The new budget takes effect July 1st, 2010, and that obviously can't take effect until we go through the budget process and establish line items.
No, I didn't state my question clearly enough. Supposing we were to apply for a grant and get it at Christmas, and so that we would then be receiving it in January of 2010 in this budget cycle,
okay.
Is there money in this year's Fire Bureau budget that would be able to be dedicated to that?
Jen?
I'm Jen Clodius. I write the grants for Portland Fire and Rescue. And this is a brand new grant for the state of Oregon. And it has never been awarded before. We have no track record. In fact, no one does. In fact, the people who are giving the workshops on this grant say that they feel like they're scrambling to keep ahead of it. At this point, the grant applications are due on November 16th. They hope to begin processing and reading and deciding, making decisions early in the year. They do not expect to be awarding any funds until June of 2010. So we, even if we're successful with these grants, with the Station 21 and Station 18 grants, if we're successful, it cannot be in the current fiscal budget because it won't be awarded until then.
So will you be putting a request in the budget for $1 million or so for in case we get these grants so that you have it in the next year's budget?
Or before you answer that, yeah, or would we use the bond money that we have existing that this would actually supplement?
These are two different projects. The Station 18 project is part of the general obligation bond, the GO bond. We know that to remodel that station, we don't know the figure.